Good morning. Recently, I was asked to speak at an Invite Welcome Connect Summit in Sewanee, Tennessee. Invite Welcome Connect is a ministry that works with congregations on developing intentional practices of evangelism, hospitality, and connectedness. I have worked with the director of Invite Welcome Connect, Mary Palmer, and this ministry for many years, and it was an honor to work with her again. Significant and intentional changes were made to our hospitality ministries here at St. Cuthbert several years ago after working with the Invite Welcome Connect, such as the welcome desk, our welcome guides, name tags, and we continue to look at our practices and work on ways to improve based on the concepts established in this ministry. It was clear during the summit that when talking with Episcopalians about evangelism or the invite part of the ministry, many struggle with feelings of fear. Fear of looking like a fool. Fear of rejection. Fear of not knowing what to say. Do any of you relate to those feelings of fear when talking about evangelism? Today's gospel tells us that Jesus sent 70 of his followers to go into the towns where he himself was going to visit. I can imagine that many of those followers felt some of those same feelings of fear. When talking with people from all over about their practices of Invite Welcome Connect, it is clear that many churches struggle with taking an honest look at themselves and realizing that we need to be more than just friendly. We need to actively and urgently seek those that don't have a church family and desperately need to experience the transforming and accepting love of Jesus Christ. Many of us are here today because somebody was bold enough to invite us. Actually, my family and I are here because somebody invited me while I was working out at the YMCA right here in the neighborhood 13 years ago. It takes more than just being a friendly church. We have to be intentional about sharing what Christ has done in your life and how important it is to be connected to the body of Christ in a church family. And when those nagging feelings of fear rise up, this is the message we all need to hear. Listen carefully. It is not all about you. When I struggled with my fear while preparing for this sermon, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me the exact same thing. Sally, it is not all about you. And as I was studying what lesson we are to take from this gospel passage, I continued to hear this message over and over again. In verse 3, Jesus said to the followers, "See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves." I believe he is pleading with us to continue the work today. And when we set out to do God's work and share the good news, we will come up against opposition. The world today seems to get so polarized and it seems to be clear that the overall church membership is in decline. So the urgency we hear in this reading is so applicable today. But before we start to get fearful or fear that we're not qualified, know that Jesus will provide everything we need for the task at hand. I love that Jesus sent the followers out in pairs. How awesome is it that Christ made sure they had a friend to be there for each other, for safety, and I'm sure to help a little with the nerves. I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling unsure, it helps to have a friend by my side. He also told the 70 not to take anything with them. No purse, no bag, no sandals, nothing that would weigh them down or cause them concern. I have at times been known to be an overpacker. I pack everything I might possibly need, and it definitely causes me some concern. When packing for the summit in Tennessee, I let my nerves get the best of me because I didn't really know what to expect when I got there. So as you can probably guess, I overpacked. I had to check my bag when the other prisoners I traveled with managed with only a carry-on. I had to worry about whether or not it would show up on that conveyor belt and baggage claim or mistakenly get rerouted to Timbuktu. I had to deal with hauling that big suitcase around, and then I worried that I would end up leaving things behind. I can see why Jesus wanted none of that. He did not want his followers to deal with anything that would slow them down, not even an extra pair of sandals. Now, I would struggle with that one. And he said, no chit-chatting with people on your way. He wanted them to be laser-focused on the work at hand. Spreading the good news of Christ is urgent work. It was urgent then, and it is urgent today. So urgent that he calls you and me to pray for workers. Workers willing to understand that it is not all about them. Workers willing to get out into the harvest. Workers that will focus on forming relationships and sharing the good news. Just like the instructions given to the 70, we are called to bring peace to those we encounter, to offer healing, and to encourage them that the kingdom of God has come near to them. We are to be gracious, to break bread together, and to take the time to build relationships. On a Sunday morning, as you arrive here at St. Cuthbert, what are your thoughts? Are you just hoping that the sermon will be good and hopefully short? And please let there be my favorite kind of donut left there when I get there. What if we all intentionally prayed for God to work through us and to reach out to others? Maybe you will be the one to notice that there is someone new who was brave enough to visit a church and could really use a warm welcome. Could you open yourself up to the possibility that God may want you to reach out and hear their story? What brought them here this morning? It breaks my heart when I see members pass by a newcomer, hoping that someone else will connect with them because they just don't know what to say. If you were having a gathering at your home, and someone who had never been there before comes in and is looking around, uncertain of where to go, would you hesitate for a moment to welcome them in and show them around? Then why is it so difficult to do the same here in God's house? And when you meet people in the community, are you fearful to invite them to church? I have encountered people who will tell you all about the great sale down the street or what essential oil will fix any ailment you might possibly have, but they wouldn't dare tell you about what Christ has done in their life and what church means to them. I believe that God is saying to what he is saying today is go, reach out, share your story. Don't let anything hold you back. The deep truth of the invite practice is courage. Mary Palmer shares in the book, Invite, Welcome, Connect, that becoming unafraid of who we are in Christ is an essential practice of discipleship. As Thomas Keating suggests, it is a movement away from the little I of our egos and towards the great I am, the one in whom all things hold together. Episcopal priest Samuel Shoemaker, known for his contributions to and service to Alcoholics Anonymous, said it well. He said, "It is pure pride when we cannot and will not learn how to articulate in a natural, human, arresting, convincing way about why the experience of Christ is meaningful to us. We did not cause this. We are simply beneficiaries. What we have done is nothing to crow about. But what he has done for us is our version of the good news. We need to share with others what God means to us and how he has worked in our lives. You see, it's all about God and not about us. Jesus says in verse 16 that whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. I feel like Jesus is telling us just to worry about our part and don't let any possible rejection get to us, because it's not about us. I know that's easier said than done at times, because we want everyone to experience God's love and grace. But as we read in the epistle from today in Galatians 6, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So go, spread your good news, and don't let anything hold you back. Unfortunately, in today's society, we see people proclaiming all kinds of things in God's name that are clearly filled with personal views and agendas. There is a great responsibility as Christians to ensure that we are clearly representing Christ and sharing his message, not ours. If we interject our own message, judgments, and opinions, then we risk harming the church if our actions cause Christ to be rejected. And when we are faithful and we see God working through us to touch others' lives, when people respond positively, it is exciting. And Jesus cautions us not to let that go to our heads either. In this selfie-centered world, we see people tooting their own horns and sharing how great they are on a daily basis. In our gospel reading, the followers returned with joyful astonishment at their power to exorcise demons in the name of Jesus. But Jesus says that the only thing we should be rejoicing about is that our names are written in heaven. So many of us look for a deeper purpose in our lives. And Jesus is saying here that the only purpose that really matters is that we belong to Christ. And if we stay laser focused on that purpose, then we will be open for him to work through us. After accepting that I was to be the next youth minister, I talked with many people to get advice. To be honest, I was struggling with fear. When thinking about working with the youth, I felt like a lamb in the midst of wolves. But please know that is in no way a reflection to our amazing youth here at St. Cuthbert. I was just unsure of my abilities. I spoke with one youth minister who confided in me that when he started out, he was consumed with putting on the biggest and best retreats and events, and as he did that, his ego grew. He said he would be filled with pride that he was able to put together such amazing events, but now God has shown him that his focus was all wrong. God has truly humbled him over the years, and he said that now looking back on that time, he is thankful that God was still able to touch the lives of the children despite the huge ego that was in the way. He encouraged me to just keep the focus on building relationships with Christ and each other, and everything would work out fine. God reminds us that it is not about us so many times through Scripture. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself." And in Romans 12:3, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And again, in our epistle reading today, for if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. You see, it is not about what we are doing for Christ. It is about what Christ can do through us when our prideful egos get out of the way. No matter how much authority we may have been given, we stand in constant need of God's mercy, which he freely offers to us all. The real satisfaction and joy we find should not be the great power God gives us, but the awareness of belonging to God in Christ. It is not all about us. It is all about him. So let's go. Amen.